Michael Libby and Insight on Business, the News Hour, is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, the premier business organization moving Iowa forward, iowaabi.org. And by Taro International, expert employee training across many disciplines is critical to productivity. Learn more at taro.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour. Just ahead of the markets, let's go ahead and talk about something that I'm really excited to be able to bring you this afternoon. With us in studio is Joe Stevens. He's the co-founder and CEO of Joppa Outreach, also Amy Hunold Van Gundy. We're going to change everybody's name to Smith. And Kyle Horn is with us as well. Joe, welcome to the News Hour.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is an interesting group and that I followed from afar for some time. Tell us what Joppa is, and then we'll get into some particulars about why you're here.
Sure. Joppa is a nonprofit organization that helps homeless people survive, get into housing, and thrive.
Well, that was quick.
So we do, you know, we do outreach. We go out and we'll see about 100 to 200 homeless people a week that are literally living under bridges, in tents, or in vehicles. We develop relationships. We meet immediate needs. And then we try to help folks get back into housing and recover through our aftercare program.
This is a long-term issue, isn't it? I mean, with homelessness. It's been a long-term issue here in the Des Moines Metro.
Well, it has. There's a lot of people helping, though, and it's been a real collaboration in the community. And luckily, we're in a community that's small enough that we actually can solve homelessness here. Yeah.
Joppa Outreach, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Joe Stevens. Joe, what? Give us a snapshot. And I'll bet there is not a typical homeless person, is there?
You know, there's not. You know, a lot of people have preconceived notions.
Absolutely.
But, you know, homeless. There are families that are homeless. There are vets that are homeless. There are people that have had some mental illness issues, single women. There are kids. It's mostly related to economics. It's also related to families not staying connected. There are a lot of reasons for it, but it's a very sad problem.
It is a sad problem. And for all of the great things that we continually talk about, what a wonderful place the Des Moines Metro is, and it is. It has a wonderful community full of all
Certainly
kinds
is.
Of opportunities, and we're on all these lists and all that. But we don't talk much about some of these shadow citizens that are out there in our community.
You know, the city has just become such a shining example of what a city can be nationwide, and yet we don't have in our forward-looking plans any plans for our poor citizens. And it is a real problem. I think we have an opportunity to become a shining example on how we handle those citizens as well.
Well, one of the things is the incomes that individuals have in many places here in the Des Moines Metro cannot keep up with the rising housing costs that are fostered on them, and that causes a real problem as well.
That's correct.
Yeah, and so it's something Eric Burmeister and I, we had that conversation about that, and many of these people that are finding themselves squeezed for housing and basic living necessities are already working two, sometimes three jobs, and just can't quite make it. And so the slippery slide is from that to homelessness.
You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, it is a real shame. Well, you brought along someone who is working on a program here that the city of Des Moines has been a little reluctant to embrace, but it's been embraced in some other places.
Yeah, what happened was about 3 years ago, our then city manager, Rick Clark, you know, challenged me and said, you know, you ought to be out there presenting solutions to these problems instead of just telling us about the problems. And I took that to heart. And so we started a collaborative effort with the Street Outreach Coalition and all of the service organizations in town that provide homeless services. And we researched models around the country, and we came up with a three-pronged plan that we believe will bring an end to homelessness in central Iowa.
And to talk about that is Amy Hunold Van Gundy. Amy, welcome to the News Hour.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
So tell me a little bit about what is this plan? What is it that you have gone out and researched and taken a look at and also brought back to the Des Moines City Council that they're saying, wait a minute, we don't know if we like this solution, but it is perhaps a solution. What is it, Amy?
Absolutely. So the solution is really focused, as Joe said, on a three-part plan. We believe in order to solve homelessness in Des Moines that you have to provide more housing. It's simply supply and demand. At any point, there's about 1,000 homeless in Des Moines. There's only enough shelter for about 750. So on any given night, there's always a couple hundred people sleeping under bridges in the woods and in cars.
Hmm.
So we have to increase housing, because with housing, people can get stable income, they can get stable jobs, keep their jobs, and go back to being productive citizens. So the question is, how do you solve the gap? And at a couple hundred, it is still very solvable for us.
Well, some would say, okay, well, let's do rent-controlled housing.
Right. And you could. But there's not enough housing. You spoke with Eric Burmeister, so you know. Right now, Des Moines has a gap of about 10,000 affordable units in the area. And in fact, vacancy rates of apartments under $500 a month, which would barely be affordable for most of these citizens, is zero. 0% vacancy. So as we step back, we said, what can we do? What can the community do? JAPA has about 66 church partners that come together to volunteer and support outreach, and they want to help. The community wants to get involved to solve this problem. So as we looked at solutions, it wasn't about building another apartment building or building another shelter. It was what can the community come forward to do? And as we studied models across the U.S., we realized the solution really lies around tiny home villages.
Tiny home villages. This is quite the trend going on out there.
It is. I would say in every region of the United States right now, you can find a model, a shining example of where a tiny home village has either been added or is successful or is being added.
And so tell us what a tiny home village is.
Sure. A tiny home village is simply very small homes. And the models range from every version available, but generally they're about 100 square foot. And so you have enough room for a bed, table, chairs, a locking door, heat, electricity. But you have the ability basically for someone to have their own space. And that's what the key is here, a small space. But it's small enough and affordable enough that you can build one for under $5,000. So in terms of that versus an apartment building or a room in an apartment, it's doable. You can have a church come together and raise the money and build that and build it relatively quickly.
Now, when we talk about a small home village, a tiny, tiny home village, where would that be?
Well, ideally, it would be within the city of Des Moines. Why? Because about 80% of the homeless are from Des Moines.
Right.
But we'd also say within Polk County. And as we look around the area, we know that a tiny home village needs to be close to public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be close to retail. It needs to be close to jobs. Because we want these people to be reconnected into the community and reconnected into employment that's sustainable, it needs to be within easy access to services.
Right. And in many of the individuals I think that we're talking about tend to work in the service sector jobs.
Absolutely.
And currently, and you mentioned transportation, that's one of the big issues, is because many of those jobs tend to be in western suburbs, but folks are living downtown.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's problematic. You brought another individual with you, our good friend Kyle Horn. Kyle is becoming a regular here on the Business News Hour. Good to see you again, Kyle.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mike.
It is always. You always bring such gravitas to the conversation. We really appreciate that. So what have you got to throw in on this thing? You've been to Milwaukee lately?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we've been to Madison lately. I'm a member of this year's Greater Des Moines Leadership Institute Community Leadership Program. And our group has adopted the Tiny Home Village from JAPA Outreach as our project. And in an effort to support them, we paid a visit to the Madison OM Village, the Occupy Madison Village, a few weeks ago.
And what'd you find?
Well, and we found that the community has really embraced it. The residents there really detail that it's been a life-changing experience for them, helping them to become self-sufficient. And a lot of the neighbors who were formerly opposed to the construction of the tiny home village now state that they regret that they were ever opposed, that they are, in fact, wonderful neighbors. And we conducted an interview on a gentleman's front porch that overlooked the tiny village. And he says that he's glad they're there.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that this does, it does take away, you know, the tent city, the inappropriateness of that, the suddenness of that. And it does lend itself to some kind of structure, I would think.
It really does. You know, a lot of the people in the community feared a shanty town.
Right.
But they've got nothing like that. You know, these homes are, frankly, they're cute as a button.
Right.
You know, and the residents take great pride in them. And these are working people that have to get up early in the morning. So I think a lot of people in the community were also fearful of a little party village, you know, nuisance complaints, things of that nature.
Just didn't happen.
They've seen nothing like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a remarkable trend. I've been watching this tiny village concept going across the country, and you're absolutely right. The homes, these tiny homes, are really beautiful
and
well constructed. They look nice, and the people that care for them really do maintain and care for them.
They really do. They take great personal pride in them. And also the community surrounding the tiny village has commented that the village does a great job of policing themselves. You know, they don't want any troublemakers in their midst. So frankly, people are screened very closely before they gain entrance to become residents of one of the homes. And they just really do a wonderful job of looking out for one another.
Got it. Amy, what's the next step here?
The next step, as you mentioned, the million-dollar question is land.
Yeah.
Where to find land. And we actually have a piece of land we've been looking at in great detail. And we're beginning to meet individually with each of the business owners to get their feedback on the design and also their buy-in.
When somebody does acquire one of these tiny homes, do they have a stake in the purchase of that?
You know, this village, based on other designs, we've decided that this is more transitional. We want them to stay for 6 to 24 months. We want to hook them up with a job. We want to make sure they have income. But at this point, we want them to move then to their forever home.
Hmm.
So this village will be more of a transitional place for people versus them purchasing.
Well, I would imagine when you say transitional, and that's very important for us to understand, this is the first step to economic independence for many of these individuals. Would that be accurate?
That's well said.
Yeah. Well, I wish you the very best with this. I think this is a wonderful program. Anything, by the way, that Kyle Horn is involved in, I'm in, man. You know?
We agree.
Yeah, he's good people. And Joe, congratulations to you as a co-founder of JAPA. What motivated you to do this?
You know, my wife and 7-year-old son at this, or actually my wife and I had a calling back in the 90s. We had an experience where we just felt like it was a vocation, you know, and then when our son was born, we wanted to get back out there. So when he was 5, we thought he was old enough. And when he was 7, we actually started going out. And so it's more of a calling, and it's just something that we feel like we're on this planet to help with.
Yeah. There are a number of people out here in the Des Moines Metro that are doing great work. There's the Thursday Night Bicycle group that goes handing out burritos and sandwiches and all kinds of things throughout here. And Joe was on, by the way, just
indeed,
a couple of weeks
yes.
ago. And, you know, people, I think, once they know that there's an issue, the downtown farmers market was sharing the food that comes out of that. You know, once people know that there's an issue and there's a solvable way to tackle it, they're more than happy to come on board.
That's certainly been our experience.
Yeah, I would imagine it has been. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you, Michael, for having us on.
Amy, thank you for coming in and doing this. Awfully nice of you. And always, Kyle, good to see you as well.
Great to see you, Michael.
Good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, it is called the JAPA program, the Tiny Village, the Tiny Home Village. Tiny Home Village. I'm sorry. My glasses weren't on. I can't read when my glasses aren't on. It's a perfect program for individuals throughout the Des Moines area to perhaps get in touch with and get behind. And we would call on the city council here in Des Moines to at least give this a solid reasoning. You know, I know many of the council members personally on the Des Moines City Council, and I believe I know where their hearts are when you get them aside and the politics doesn't take place. So maybe that's where we start. All right, we got to go. Coming up next, we've got the markets. We're going to see what happened today on Wall Street. We've got all kinds of things going on there. The Fed said, nah, we're going to hold off on an interest rate hike, and investors said, we kind of like that. All right, that's coming up next on the Business News Hour.